Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour we have a topic that I've always liked to talk about because these folks actually know what they're talking about, which is helpful in so many ways. But the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, we have the special agent in charge, Brad Byerly, joining us today. And this on October 23rd, I think it is, right? 26. I'm sorry, wrong date. October 26 is National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. It is a program that when I was sheriff, we participated in with our partner, the Drug Enforcement Agency, one that we thought that was very, very important, one that continues to have a lot of successes. Brad, welcome to the show.
Well, Noel, again, I appreciate you having us on here today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate your support for drug law enforcement. This is our ninth year to do drug take back. We do two of these a year, one in the spring and one in the fall, usually around April, and then we do another one in October. This will be drug take back number 18. And this program, as you and I have talked about, it addresses a vital public safety and a public health issue that these medicines that are laying around in medicine cabinets, in our home, in our homes, in our home medicine cabinets, they're highly susceptible to diversion, misuse, and abuse.
Yeah, you know, I've actually taken advantage of these places where you can dispose of it, and we'll talk about those places. And I make it a habit to go through, you know, my medicine drawer, you know, to make sure that anything that I have that is expired or anything that I was prescribed where I no longer need it, I don't keep it. I get rid of it because there's nothing positive that can come out of that, right?
That's right.
You know, it just if you have kids around or folks working in your house coming in or whatever, you never know what the situation may be or the temptation that may be presented.
Right. Right. Well, the question I get, recurring question I get, is why is this important? And I guess to kind of set the stage, the foundation of what we're talking about today, and that's the opioid epidemic. And that's the epidemic of the overdoses across the United States. With around 72,000 people we lost last year to drug overdose, that's almost 200 a day. And around 70% of those are from the opioid epidemic. And a lot of these opioids, a lot of these prescription drugs are what languish in the home medicine cabinet.
One of the other striking statistics is that 10.3 million people misused prescription opioids in 2018.
That's right. And around 4 out of 5 new heroin users first come into contact, first began their addiction from a prescription drug, from something that came from a family member or friend to include the home medicine cabinet.
When you add up all these numbers, it's really shocking. 2 million additional folks in 2018 had an opioid use disorder. I mean, that's a lot of folks. 808,000 used heroin in 2018. 81,000 used it for the first time last year. And 2 million people misused prescription opioids for the first time as well.
That's right.
So when you start adding all these numbers up, I mean, it's staggering.
Right. And again, we do this twice a year. It's a free and anonymous program. We're running it this Saturday, October the 26th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Free and anonymous. We want people, any unwanted, unused prescription or over-the-counter drugs, aside from you know, needles, syringes, I mean, we're taking just about everything.
So when we think about in our area, and you represent more than just a New Orleans area, your area of supervision encompasses what?
The New Orleans Field Division covers the states of Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. We have around 18 offices in those four states, and that's our from the New Orleans Field Division. That's what we call our area of responsibility.
Every year, there's y'all look at the what's going on out there in the market, so to speak, in the illicit market, and there's a threat assessment that comes out, and typically you look at some of the most current trends based on the data that you have. What are y'all seeing right now?
Well, we're still seeing a lot of methamphetamine out there. We're still seeing.
For the benefit of our listening audience, describe what methamphetamine actually is. Because a lot of people have heard about it, but they don't even really know what
right.
it is.
Right. Well, it's a super stimulant. You take the methamphetamine. I mean, you can stay awake. You've got lots of energy. It's like ephedrin times 1,000.
Yep. And it's something that's made in a lab, or
it is predominantly nowadays. A lot of it's made by the cartels in Mexico. They bring it across the border in a liquid form, and then there's conversion labs, illegal conversion labs throughout the United States that then turn it into a crystal-type substance.
And it comes across in a liquid form because that's the easiest way to transport it covertly?
It is. The cartels have figured out, hey, you know, this is another way that we can get it in, whether it comes in as like soft drinks or water or whatever, in big 50-gallon barrels.
Yeah. Right. And so that continues to be a big issue. One of the other things that I noticed that in this particular year that y'all are taking are these vaping devices and cartridges. And where is that on the threat assessment? Is that something that's beginning to reveal itself in a big way?
Well, it's important because people are losing their lives. But what we have found through the Center of Disease Control and the research that we've been able to look at so far, a lot of the people that are the fatalities that come from the vaping are the ones that are vaping a THC-like substance that is being illicitly produced and then purchased. That's where we're seeing that. But as part of this drug take-back, we are taking the vaping devices. We just ask that people remove the batteries.
Is there like this false sense of security for vapors? Because a lot of this just reminds me of just going back not too many years ago of synthetic marijuana that we were seeing in the corner stores, you know, packaged under all kinds of crazy names and nice packaging and everything else. And it was just a bunch of crap thrown in a package. No QA, no quality control, quality assurance, nothing. And they don't even really know what they're smoking.
Right. And a lot of the stuff that we are seizing, a lot of the stuff that's been seized in the New Orleans Field Division is just that. Some of these, what they call the vapes or the DAPs, there's no regulation under them. I mean, they're just a mixture of a variety of different substances. And, you know, some of them have the THC, some of them don't. And I think it's important, too, every polydrug organization that we're looking at is moving not just the meth, not just the heroin, the opioids, but we're seeing the fentanyl. The fentanyl is still out there, and that's what scares me to death, is just the lethality of the fentanyl. We don't call it the serial killer drug from nothing. And I was with the Mark Wahlberg Youth Foundation back at the beginning of the month, and Jim Wahlberg, the brother of Mark, I was with him, and he was helping us with our youth summit that we had here in New Orleans. Around 5,000 students attended. But I was talking to one of the speakers that was a recovering addict, and he said it best. He said, kids these days with the stuff that's out on the street, they don't just get high, they die.
They die, yeah. You know, one of the things, interesting things, is that a number of the drug testing protocols don't even really test for fentanyl. I know that the DEA has been very proactive and others have been proactive about trying to make that part of kind of the standardized panel, I guess, for lack of a better term, because a lot of the tests, they're not even testing for fentanyl.
Well, because of the fentanyl, we've kind of had to revamp what we're doing as far as our field testing. We've had to go to fume hoods to do the field testing, whereas before we could conduct the field test from the front seat of a car. Now it has to be brought back to the office. It has to be put under a safety device to make sure no one's inhaling this.
You know, for the benefit of the listening audience, again, describe the lethality of fentanyl and just coming in contact with it.
It's 50 times stronger than heroin, 100 times stronger than morphine. Just imagine sprinkling a few grains of salt on a table or on a napkin, if that were to come in contact with your skin, it could be fatal.
And there's actually been any number of cases where officers that have come in contact with it while making a drug stop or executing a search warrant or otherwise have actually lost their lives and being exposed to fentanyl.
Right. And what's crazy, it's being mixed now with the cocaine. It's being mixed with the heroin. It's being mixed with the methamphetamine. The cartels, to this date, they're mixing the heroin with the fentanyl, send it into the United States in a powder form, and a lot of the local drug trafficking organizations have bought pill presses, pressing these drugs or these substances into pill form and selling them on the street as pain medication.
There was a New Yorker article several years ago that I found very interesting, whereby they said that this was actually part of the marketing plan of the cartels in Mexico to create a new addiction to these substances. Have y'all thought of,
We realized, I don't know, about 7-8 years ago when the prescription drug issue began to become out of hand, we knew the cartel would figure out, hey, here's another way to make some easy money.
I mean, in many respects, they're very sophisticated. They understand marketing. They understand distribution. They understand any number of things. They're actually, albeit a collection of a bunch of thugs, but they're actually very sophisticated in the manner in which they conduct their operations.
They are, but I still, from an enforcement perspective, still feel like we have an advantage. We still have a leg up, and we're having great results and success throughout the New Orleans Field Division and throughout the United States in going after the cartels.
Yeah, I mean, I hear sometimes people, and I know you might not be able to comment on this, that underestimate the importance of that barrier at the border. When I say a barrier, I'm talking figuratively. That it's just important in dealing with the drug trafficking organizations in Mexico through Central America as well as South America in those migration patterns that even before they get to our border, that we want to be able to gather the intelligence. And I know DEA has done that for a long, long time. And that intelligence is so valuable.
That's right. I mean, we seize a lot of drugs at the border. We seize a lot of drugs from these source of supply states that share a border with Mexico. A lot of the drugs coming into the New Orleans Field Division and going throughout the rest of the United States, that is where they're entering the United States.
We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We have Brad Byerly, special agent in charge of DEA. Their National Prescription Drug Take Back Day is on the 26th. So we'll be talking more about that when we come back. If you don't think this is important, listen to this. Even if your prescriptions aren't deliberately misused, they can put people at risk. According to the National Capital Poison Center, pain medications are the most frequent cause of fatalities in children under age 6 that are reported to poison control. Those childproof bottles, it's good in theory. It's not what you would ultimately think, and these numbers bear that out. Also on the Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll, what do you do with your expired prescriptions, over-the-counter medications? 56% say they throw them in the trash. Well, you're giving somebody else an opportunity to go through your trash. You throw away your prescription bottle, and you got a lot of information on there, right? Right. I mean, you got your name, your prescription number.
A lot of times, your name is on there, the address, telephone number. Not to mention, the controlled substance, throwing it away like that. But then you're giving away possible
personal information.
Personal information. Your identity could be stolen. Yeah.
Absolutely. 22% of the folks flush them. So we put them into our sewer system and
groundwater
and everything else. 17% turn them into the DEA Take Back Day. We got to improve upon that and 6% give them away before they expired. Well, that's a felony.
Right. Right.
Wake up.
Right. But we've had great success, you know.
Let's talk about that, because you guys have, and if you want to know where the area nearest you where they have these receptacles that you can drop these drugs off in, www.deatakeback.com. You're going to put in your zip code, and it's going to give you a list of where these receptacles are located.
That's correct. And over the last 9 years, we've collected approximately 9 million pounds. Just in the New Orleans Field Division, just throw some numbers at you, in Louisiana, we've collected 65,426 pounds. Mississippi, 37,000 pounds. Alabama, 78,000 pounds. And Arkansas, 346,000 pounds.
What's going on in Arkansas? My goodness.
Well, I mean, throughout the New Orleans Field Division, we normally run for a take back around 300 collection sites. In the state of Louisiana, we average about 70. We've got two here close by locally, Gretna PD, and then the 17th Street Post Office over in Metairie. But throughout the state, there's multiple more places to drop off your drugs. Again, like you said, go to www.deatakeback.com. Type in your area or your zip code, and it'll tell you the one nearest you.
And, you know, folks, it's okay. Peel the label off the prescription bottle. You don't need anybody knowing, you know, your personal information about what kind of prescriptions you have, or your prescription number, the name of your doctor, your address.
Exactly.
You know, that's not information that you need to be putting out there, because that information in the hands of the wrong people is a bad thing. All the reason why you don't want to just throw this away in the trash can.
Right. And one thing we really like to emphasize is this is free and anonymous.
Yeah.
We're not out there trying to make a drug investigation for someone dropping something off. I repeatedly, when I've been out at these locations, I've had people, you know, real hesitant about coming up there and dropping their stuff off. And I just want to I can't emphasize it enough. We're not out there trying to make a case off of somebody that's getting rid of some prescription drugs they've had in their home medicine cabinet for a couple of years.
And if you want another idea about how much you can make a difference, consider the following. According to the latest available data, the 2018 National Survey on Drug Use and Health, 51.3% of those 12 and older who misused prescription pain relievers in the past year, they got them from a friend or relative.
That's right.
Including 3.2% who took them without asking.
That's right. Right. And again, I know I'm kind of jumping around here what we're talking about, but the leading cause of injury-related death in the United States is drug overdose. That's more than gun-related deaths and car vehicle crashes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so the data's there, the opportunity's there. I applaud DEA because they have taken a multifaceted approach of not only trying to go out and get these drugs, but education as well. And you talked about the Wahlberg Foundation and Jim Wahlberg, and he manages the foundation for his brother Mark Wahlberg. There's a YouTube video you talk about. It's called If Only. Talk about that.
That's correct. Jim Wahlberg, through the Mark Wahlberg Youth Foundation, they put out a film called If Only. We recently showed it at our DEA Youth Summit that we had here with around 5,000 students. And it's about a 20-25 minute video on YouTube that you can watch. And it explains how quickly someone can become addicted to prescription drugs, these opioids, and how quickly their life can spiral out of control, and how they can ultimately lose their life by just experimenting with these types of drugs.
I know DEA has always historically been very involved in not only education, but diversion. And with all of this opioid lawsuits going on right now, and there's a lot of different things, what are y'all seeing trending as it relates to diversion at the present time?
Well, right now, I think...
Let's describe diversion.
I think it's important, too, that I explain what all we're doing. Well, we have an enforcement element with DEA. We have a regulatory perspective or element, which is the diversion side. And then we have a community outreach side, which is the drug take back, our red ribbon events, and like the youth summit like we did with through DEA 360. From a regulatory side, DEA, our diversion investigators, they're working hand in hand right now with the medical community in making sure a lot of these opioids are not being overprescribed or overproduced. And that's something we've seen in the past. There's a lot of wholesalers and a lot of drug companies that are overproducing the opioids. And that's something we're closely working with these wholesalers and these producers now to make sure these drugs are not being overproduced. And then we're working with the physicians and the pharmacists to make sure they're not being overprescribed.
Yeah, I mean, because, and I know the DEA has actually opined about this, there is a legitimate use for this pain medication. It's just that those that want to take advantage of the system and overutilize them, overprescribe them, or do whatever for the sake of what? The almighty dollar.
Exactly. Right?
And, you know, money seems to motivate people to do a lot of things that they ordinarily wouldn't do.
It does. And I mean, you're absolutely right. There is a legitimate use for these pain medications. However, I think what people need to realize is how dangerous they are and how quickly someone can become addicted from just using maybe even half of a prescription.
Yeah, I have said that to many people. And they don't believe me. They don't believe that, you know, through the course of maybe one series of taking this medication, depending on their genetic makeup, that they could actually get addicted to this.
Right. And I guess this is something that I'm very passionate about speaking about, because I guess I see it every day in the calls that I take from the community leaders I talk to. I think everyone, if you stopped and thought about it, has been affected by this epidemic and someone who's either overdosed or who's dealing with addiction right now.
Yeah, I mean, tragically, I think you're right. I think most families have an incident, if not in their immediate family, at some point or at some part of their family that they have that, and or a friend,
right,
or a classmate, or, you know, there is any number of different stories to be told. I could sit here and tell stories probably for the next 3 hours.
No, we could. And this addiction does not discriminate. It really doesn't.
No, and it's not linked to just one socioeconomic group by any stretch of the imagination. And these numbers are compelling when you think about it, that it reaches so many different sectors of our community.
I know. You think about just right up the road, Tiger Stadium holds a little over 100,000. I think it's 102,000.
Yeah.
Just in the last 2 years, we've lost more than would fit in Tiger Stadium than a few weeks ago when LSU played Florida. I mean, that's overwhelming.
Yeah. We got to get to a break. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Brad Byerly, Special Agent in Charge, DEA, joins us in the studio talking about the National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day on Saturday, October 26. They will have temporary receptacles placed at any number of locations from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can check it out on www.deatakeback.com. Put your zip code in. And there's also some permanent receptacles that are placed out there as well, so you can do this on any given day. Let's go to line one, talk to Jay out in Slidell. What say you, Jay?
Hey, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to take this opportunity, since this is kind of the topic y'all are talking about. I had a significant other years ago, was the victim of accidental overdose. And just to remind people that when you're taking prescription drugs, 2 + 2 does not equal 4. It can equal 8 or 16 or exponentially the effects of, you know, separate doses. And especially with painkillers, with opioids, if you mix them with any kind of benzos, Xanax, which used to be very common, they've cut back on that now, so it's not as common. But those two particular combinations are probably responsible for a huge percentage of accidental overdoses. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, Jay, thank you for calling as always, and we are sorry for your loss. I know I can sense it in your voice. And you're right, contraindication of drugs that are prescribed sometimes can always be an issue.
Right. That is so true. And again, thank you for calling and mentioning that. I mean, some of the cases where I am talking to families and people in the community do talk about these accidental overdoses. And I mean, it's common. But again, you know, with this opioid epidemic, this is something we're seeing nationwide. You know, I mean, fortunately, in the state of Louisiana, we've not seen it as bad as some parts of the Upper East Coast regions, but it is here.
Because we were early onset on the registry, unlike some other states?
Well, I think that has something to do with it too. And I think it's anywhere you see a lot of drugs in more metropolitan areas where they've been, a lot of drugs or pain medications are being prescribed. That's where you can see more of where the opioid epidemic has taken off. Throughout the Southeast and predominantly the New Orleans Field Division, we have more rural type areas where you don't see as much of that being prescribed.
I know in Jefferson Parish and joining forces with the DEA, we shut down all of the pill mills, you know, where right. You'd walk in there and they'd already have the bottle filled out and it's just a question right. of slapping a label on it. I mean, right. you know, it was kind of a joke, quite frankly, that they were so overt in what they were doing. Let's go to line two, talk to Jan out in Metairie. Welcome to the show, Jan. Jan, welcome to the show. You might have lost Jan. We're going to go ahead. We'll just take a break here, see if we can get her back. We'll be right back with Brad Byerly, Special Agent in Charge of the DEA. We're back. We'll go to the talk lines. We're talking with Brad Byerly, Special Agent in Charge, DEA, for their National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 26. You can find out where the receptacles are at www.deatakeback.com. And you plug in your zip code, and it'll give you a list. Let's go to line two, talk to Jan out in Metairie. Jan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Your thoughts?
I just wanted to say for the DA to keep doing the job that they're doing. Unfortunately, my son passed away February of 2018 from a drug overdose, and the heroin was laced with the fentanyl. And like I said, when we found him, the needle was still in his arm. I said, I don't know if people realize sometimes how powerful that drug is, but it's definitely so horrible. And I said he was only 30 years old. And I wish one day no other family would ever have to go through this again.
Jen, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And I know you are still struggling with that, and that so many other families do. It's really important that you share your story, quite frankly, because a lot of people just don't realize the danger of that drug.
Yes, Jan, thank you for calling in and saying that. The dangers of these drugs that are out there right now, it's like I commented a minute ago, the young man I was talking to at the beginning of the month was telling me, you know, kids nowadays, you know, they don't just get high, they die because of the stuff that's out there. And that's what we're trying to do at DEA. You know, there are three elements to DEA: the enforcement component, the regulatory component, and then the outreach component. And part of what I'm doing here today is the outreach, and part of what you just did is what we're trying to be proactive about in telling people of the dangers of these types of drugs.
And unfortunately, my son went to rehab many, many times, but I said sometime in their brain, they just think that this is never going to happen to them.
Rehab's not easy in many right. respects. And you know, it's the addictive disorder is compelling on so many different fronts. And we're getting better at it, would you say, Brad? But we're still not where we are. I mean, you know, when you think about a 13-week program, a 14, 15, 16-week program, that's not sufficient in my view, looking at the potency of what's available out there today.
Right. I mean, we are making great headway. There is great success stories. There are great results Fortunately, I do get to see, you know, I see the bad side, and then I get to see the positive side of what we're doing. Again, you know, our mission is the disruption, dismantlement of drug trafficking organizations. And when I look at the results of where we're going with that, we are making some great headway.
So, Brad, this hour is coming to a close. Your final thoughts?
Well, again, I appreciate you having me on here again. And I just to reemphasize the danger of the drugs that were like the caller that just mentioned, how bad these drugs are, how quickly someone's life can spiral out of control, and how quickly they can overdose and believing it would never happen to them. You know, hey, this isn't going to happen to me. But the stuff that we're seeing that they're on the street, it's not regulated. I mean, what might be one batch of heroin that someone is using, a drug addict is using, the next week might be laced with a strong amount of the fentanyl and, you know, be something that kills a number of people.
Absolutely. National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, Saturday, October 26, 10 to 2. Check out their website, www.deatakeback.com. Plug in your zip code, and it will give you the locations of the receptacles. Some are permanent, some are temporary. Something very important for you to utilize. Brad Byerly, Special Agent in Charge of the DEA, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me.
All righty, ready for your chance to win a cool grand in a free cash giveaway contest? Now's your chance. The code word this hour is SERIES. Text SERIES, SERIES to 72881. That's 72881. Listen for the next code word right before the top of the hour, every hour now through 4 p.m. Don't miss your chance to win $1,000. 8 times a day in our Intercom National Cash Contest. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. And remember, please don't text and drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.